This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Chapter 5. The Pilishtim placed the Ark of the Covenant in the house of their god Dagon in Ashdod, as if to indicate that their idol had triumphed over the god of the Jews. The next morning, when they arrived to visit the temple, the statue of Dagon has fallen over as if it were prostrating before the Ark of the Covenant. They put it back on its stand. The following morning, the severed head and hands of Dagon were found at the threshold of the temple. Stubbornly committed to their pagan superstitions, this spectacle persuaded them to institute a new minhag, a new custom, that prohibited stepping directly on the threshold in the spot where the limbs of their god had been discovered. Now, it's interesting to note, just as an aside, that Dagon didn't have feet because Dagon was a type of fishman god. That's why it's the hands and the head that are removed. The residents of Ashdod are then smitten with plagues that involve lots of deaths and also with painful hemorrhoids. Assuming that this was the result of the conflict between the God of Israel and Dagon, whose house was located in their territory, they asked the rulers of the Pilishtim to transfer the ark somewhere else. It's moved to Gat and then to Ekron. Each time, deadly illness and painful suffering is afflicting those who dwell in the city where it is placed. Recognizing that the unbearable suffering they are experiencing and all of the death and loss is associated with their continued possession of the ark, the Pilishtim resolve to send it back to the Jews as soon as they possibly can. Now, there's a clear connection to the narrative here and the story of the plagues in Egypt. This link is actually explicitly acknowledged by the Pilishtim when they reflect upon what's befalling them and they consider the appropriate response. They speak about what happened to Paro, what happened to Egypt, their stubbornness and the importance of responding quickly under the circumstances. So the suffering they experience forces them to release the ark eventually, the ark representing the divine presence from its captivity, and to free it to travel to the Holy Land, much like Paro, like the Pharaoh, freed the Jews who represent Hashem, to return to the land of their heritage, the land that was promised to them. The Pilishtim are compelled to acknowledge the power and dominion of the God of Israel, despite their resistances. Moving the ark from city to city was a way of trying to deflect his influence somehow. They ultimately had to recognize that it was inescapable, that Hashem's power is inescapable. The parallel to Paro in Egypt and his resistance, but eventual capitulation to the plagues, is quite evident here. We know that Paro tried everything, hoped for everything, believed that he would find some domain in which Hashem was not able to exert his power, and of course he failed in that. It's interesting to note that Hashem does not provide assistance or support to the Jews in their battle against the Pilishtim, but he's very persistent in hammering them with plagues to relinquish the ark. Now, just before we said that it was the Jews' overemphasis on the ark that was a distortion of religion and probably caused them to lose these battles to the Pilishtim, and yet here Hashem himself is more protective of the ark than he is of his own people. So what gives? Now, in order to understand what's happening here, we have to distinguish between the circumstances. The Jewish people, because of their distance from Torah and mitzvot, were not worthy of divine help. If Hashem had helped them, it would have been, in a way, a stamp of approval for their corruption. Hashem would have been saying it was okay the way that they were, and he was willing to support them anyway. So that would have been a desecration of God's name. Here, the desecration of God's name is the opposite. The fact that the Pilishtim had taken the ark was first perceived as a proof of the superiority of Dagon to Hashem, God forbid. Allowing such a desecration of Hashem's name and such a boon to the practitioners of idol worship would have been just as disastrous, if not more, as allowing the Jews to prevail in battle in their state of corruption. So this explains the critical need for Hashem's intervention here. It's for Kiddush Hashem, the sake of Hashem's glory, not the ark. It's not that Hashem values the ark more. It's that in each circumstance, Hashem is intervening in a way that minimizes the Chilul Hashem, minimizes the desecration of God's name, and maximizes the Kiddush Hashem, the glory and sanctification of his name.